From NPR, it's Latino USA. 2012 is here. And for some, this is the year that the world is supposed to end. Not the best thing to hear when you're preparing to celebrate the new year, I know that. But believers of this ominous prediction point to the prophecies of the ancient Mayan calendar.
It's very clear what's going to happen. The earth will heat up and the sun will burn brighter and brighter.
On today's show, will the end of this year bring the end of the world? Well, ask the Mayans themselves and you might get a different answer.
Este es netamente un campo de negocios sobre los mayas, atemorizando al mundo entero.
So the big news, the movies, the documentaries that mention the Maya are all exploitation. It's all an attempt to scare the world, because it's a lie that the world is going to end.
That's coming up on Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa, but first, this news. Well, for our last show of the year, 2011, we're going to skip some of our normal headlines, and we're going to instead take a look back at some of the happenings in music and in the entertainment world for the past year. To help us out, I'm joined by Jasmine Gartz. She's the co-host of Alt Latino, a program dedicated to Latin alternative and rock en español from NPR Music. Welcome back to Latino USA, Jasmine.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
So the big, big talk out there, Calle 13, hip-hop duo from Puerto Rico. Their videos are amazing. They won a record-breaking 9 Latin Grammys this year. What is going on with Calle 13?
It's amazing because they were the band who didn't release any new material in 2011, but they were the most talked about band. But, you know, it was really wonderful to see the Latin Grammys recognize artists that, A, they're extremely talented in a sea of reggaetoneros who really are just kind of repeating the same verses over and over again over, you know, fabricated beats. These are guys who are technically, lyrically extremely skilled, but also they have a social conscience. And yes, they did release several new videos this year, including Latino America, which they performed at the Latin Grammys. So just a band that has evolved from being your everyday sex and girls reggaeton band into really Latin American troubadours.
Vale la pena una canasta con frijoles. Soy Maradona contra Inglaterra, anotándote dos goles. Soy lo que sostiene mi bandera, la espina dorsal del planeta en mis cordilleras. Soy lo que me enseñó mi padre, el que no quiere a su patria, no quiere a su madre. Soy América Latina.
So the members of Calle 13, they are from Puerto Rico, but they aren't the only Caribbeans who are essentially making waves in the pop world these days. A few years ago, the bachata band Aventura was making waves for selling more tickets than Lady Gaga for shows in New York. And now a former member of the group Aventura, the immensely popular Romeo Santos, put out a new album this month. So what's different about this album? And is this more of the attempt to really put bachata, which I remember when I first heard bachata, and it's like, wow, this is really cool, but nobody knows about this. Now everybody knows about bachata. Is it really the mainstream now?
Well, it's amazing. Bachata is exploding, and Aventura has a lot to do with that. Now, Romeo Santos has gone on to do his solo career, and he's doing amazingly well. In fact, you mentioned selling more than Lady Gaga. Well, Romeo Santos just sold out his show in Madison Square Garden, his February 11th show, and he had to add another one. What is different about his album is that it's a very definite attempt to cross over into the English language market. He is singing in English and in Spanish. It's not just bachata. I mean, there's enough bachata in there for his core bachata fans to feel included, but there's also R&B. And he has guests. I mean, I never thought that I would hear Usher singing bachata. But he sounds good.
Quiero ser tuyo enterito, pero tengo miedo. Prométeme que no me vas a dejar sin tu amor.
Talk to Usher.
I'll give you my heart, girl, but you gotta go.
Show me, touch me, love me, way past my
All right, so one of the biggest things that's happening in the music scene these days and through 2011, the rise of DJs. One of the big names out there is Gecko Jones, who's Colombian.
He's almost like an Indiana Jones of music. He goes to Colombia, finds genres and artists who are obscure, even to Colombians, brings it back to New York, where he's based, and mixes it with some amazing club beats. The result is something you've just never heard before. It's kind of ancient and traditional, and it feels comfortable, but it's also new and avant-garde.
Well, thanks for all that good information, Jasmine. Good to talk to you, and Happy New Year.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Jasmine Gartz is co-host of Alt Latino, NPR Music's program dedicated to Latin alternative and rock en español. We're back in 30 segundos. Stay with us. It's Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Well, it's just a matter of days before our calendar jumps to the year 2012. And while people around the world are busy planning their New Year festivities, there are some who believe that the date is ominous and full of doomsday scenarios. They point to what they say are the prophecies of the end of the world foretold by the ancient Mayan calendar. Independent producer Maria Martin is based in Guatemala, which is the land of the Maya. So we asked her to see what's being said there about the year 2012.
The plot of the current film Melancholia has a planet emerging from behind the sun, set on a collision course with the Earth. The film 2012 is a different type of movie, with essentially the same outcome, a renegade planet plunging into the Earth.
Bye-bye, Sistine Chapel. Bye-bye, U.S. Capitol. Bye-bye, White House. About to be squished by an aircraft carrier? The Doomsday Movie 2012 is coming out.
A quick web search on the subject of 2012 turns up hundreds, if not thousands, of websites, blogs, and videos dealing with the mystery that awaits us this new year. Mysteries that talk about polar shifts, planets crashing, and even visits from outer space. And many of these mention the Mayan calendar.
Para todos ustedes que me escuchan, mi humilde respeto. Mi nombre es, en occidental, Alejandro Cirilo Pérez Oxlag. Pero mi nombre maya es Huacatelutiu, que es el lobo errante. Y hablando el inglés, wandering walk.
Don Alejandro Cirilo Pérez Olash is a 13th generation Mayan daykeeper, an interpreter of the sacred Mayan calendar. He's also Guatemala's ambassador for indigenous people and the head of the Mayan Council of Elders, an association of 400 Mayan priests and priestesses who keep the traditional ways of the Mayan religion.
Queridos amigos, todas las cosas vienen marcado en la profecía de los mayas eternos.
For Don Cirilo, all the talk of 2012 seems a little silly. That's because, he says, the Mayan calendar doesn't really relate to the year 2012.
Pero nosotros tenemos nuestro propio metameta maya.
We have our own distinct traditions. We have our principles. We are the keepers of time. We never talk about 2008, 2009, 2010. Right now, we are finalizing 13 Baktun, 13 Ahab. In the long count, we need 70 or 75 years to end this period of the sun.
The long count is just one of many calendars kept by the ancient Maya, a culture not only obsessed by the concept of time, but also amazingly good at keeping track of it. In fact, their calculations done thousands of years ago have proven to be nearly as accurate as those done by present-day NASA computers.
Para que ustedes entiendan.
So that you understand, we are finishing the fifth period of the sun. The second, third, and fourth suns have already passed, and we are now in the fifth sun.
In the Mayan long count calendar, vast stretches of time were measured in periods called a sun. The fifth sun ends on December 21st of our year, 2012. That's 5,125 years after it began, in 3114 BC. Don Cirilo says all this information was carved by his ancestors into the immense stones known as stela, some of which survive to this day.
Eso no había máquina, no había aparato, no había computadora en esos años que nuestros abuelos nos han dejado grabado en las piedras.
Before there were no machines, no computers, so our ancestors left us information on the stones. And this has been handed down from father to son, from grandfather to grandson, all the way to today. That is our Mayan calendar. It has nothing to do with the Gregorian calendar. So the big news, the movies, the documentaries that mention the Maya are all exploitation. It's all an attempt to scare the world, because it's a lie that the world is going to end.
Este es meramente un campo de negocios sobre los mayas, atemorizando al mundo entero de que se va a finalizar. No es eso.
Still, many Guatemalans, like so many others around the world, are fascinated by the possibility of a doomsday prediction.
2012, fin del mundo. La respuesta es sí.
On a recent Saturday evening, it was standing room only in Antigua's Peña del Sol. They came to listen to radio personality and self-proclaimed Mayan expert Eduardo Mendoza as he spoke about the Mayan prophecies and the possibilities for 2012.
Me llamo Jordan Orantes, tengo 20 años. Estoy aquí porque quiero ampliar mis conocimientos sobre los mayas.
20-year-old Jordan Orantes was at the lecture. He says it's important for Guatemalans to consider the possibilities that may come in the next year, especially for young people who live in a country with an astronomical murder rate and often hit by natural disasters. Here's radio personality Mendoza.
When you read the prophecies in the books of the Chilam Balam, it's very clear what's going to happen. The earth will heat up and the sun will burn brighter and brighter. So from there, how one interprets that, it's up to you, whether it'll be solar flares or something else. But that's why we have so many different interpretations.
Many Mayan priests say the real message of 2012 is not that the world is coming to an end. Instead, it's that mankind will be in transition from one era to another as the fifth sun comes to its conclusion on December 21st, 2012. Carlos and Denise Barrios are father and daughter Mayan priests. He's a member of the Mayan Council of Elders and author of the Book of Destiny, Unlocking the Secrets of the Ancient Maya and the Prophecy of 2012. She's co-author of Energies of the Day, a guide to using the Mayan calendar.
It's not the end of the calendar, as some people are saying. It's just the end of a cycle and the beginning of another cycle. It's just a change of energy. But I think what's important is to create awareness of ourselves, to develop ourselves in the four bodies, mental, spiritual, economical, and physical.
And this cycle, as we are going to finish the 20th of December of 2012, is the cycle of the water and female energy. And for first time, the next cycle, this famous date of the 2012, we are going to live in a new energy. It's not more female or male energy. It's a shared energy, complementary for each one. And that's meaning harmony. That's meaning as we are going to be a part of the inter galactical consciousness, and we have the opportunity to travel into the space, this possibility to develop ourselves.
In fact, says Carlos Barrios, there are many positive aspects about the coming transition to a new cosmic era.
We have, with the Mother Earth, the opportunity to grow. But we need to understand that we are destroying the Mother Earth. And all this contamination, the pollution, the greenery, greenhouse effect is affecting us. And this is the problem. It's not Mother Earth, it's not a prophecy. But if we continue with this story, we are going to destroy us and the Mother Earth if we don't take attention. Or she is going to take the revenge.
This is the message of 2012 that virtually all Mayan priests and indigenous cultures around the world agree on. It's a cry for environmental concern and the need for nurturing Mother Earth.
It's important to have this consciousness. It's not just to talk, because it's not just to put, this is the organic trash, this is the recyclable trash and everything. This is not enough.
Pues en todo eso es producto de la contaminación. Que si diéramos cuenta el gran recalentamiento, aquí sobre la tierra sentimos calor.
Meanwhile, Mayan daykeeper Don Cirilo Perez Olash says not to worry about the end of the world on December 21st, 2012. But he does warn about the effects of a hole in the ozone layer, something the Mayans call the crystal zone, which he says will lead to a variety of medical and environmental tragedies.
Y por este rompió las capas de ozono que dicen en la ciencia occidental y para nosotros mayas le decimos zona de cristal.
So if the ozone layer fails, the sun will directly scorch the earth and there will be no life. We need this crystal zone because it softens the heat rays. But we see now that it is broken, that it is falling apart, and because of that, we have all these diseases, like mental disorders, heart disease, skin cancer, and many more. The important part for us to remember is to take care not to lose the education our ancestors have left us. Do not talk about money, because money is going to disappear soon. And the great capitalists of the world are human vampires who suck the blood of poor people. And when there's nothing to eat, well, that's what we're talking about. But for the year 2012, no problem. The great changes, the serious ones, will come later. Not only here, but on a global scale. And so it is.
Los grandes acontecimientos siguen. Entre más días, más grave. No solo aquí, sino que a nivel mundial. Así es.
Don Cirilo and Don Carlos Barrios say things will happen slowly, not in one day or one month or even one year. So there's still time to change our ways.
La espiritualidad de estos días tiene un nombre, y ese nombre es acción. Tenemos que tomar acción.
Today's spirituality has a name, says Mayan priest Carlos Barrios. It's called action. For Latino USA, I'm Maria Martin, reporting from Guatemala.
In a minute, taking Norteño music from La Frontera to the world, a profile of the Norteño supergroup Los Tigres del Norte. You're listening to Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. And chances are you've probably heard the music of Los Tigres del Norte, even if you've never heard their name. The Norteño supergroup has long been popular among Mexican immigrants, giving them a voice through their music. But the band has also defied musical boundaries with an ever-growing fan base of all ages and backgrounds. Their latest Grammy Award-winning album, Los Tigres del Norte and Friends, MTV Unplugged, features collaborations with artists such as Calle 13, Juanes, and Zach de la Rocha, proving that their influence has extended well beyond their border frontera roots. In 2005, Brenda de Anda profiled Los Tigres del Norte, and today we bring you a special re-airing of that piece.
You take a polka beat, add electric guitars, an accordion, heart-wrenching lyrics, and you have Los Tigres del Norte.
Ya está cerrada con tres candados.
They sound, yes, high pitch, and the words on their songs, you know, and their voices are different than anybody else.
Mario Castillo knows the group sound very well. He's been a radio DJ for 22 years and is now the program manager at El Paso's KBNA-FM. He says it's easy to tell them apart from the other bands that try to imitate their style. Mexican writer Guadalupe Loaiza agrees and says you just have to listen to know why.
These songs, you know, I think they are very different also from the other songs, that from the other corridos, because Los Tigres del Norte, they are very much concerned about all our problems, social problems.
Problems like illegal immigration, poverty, and drug smuggling.
We are singing reality that nobody can say is not happening.
Los Tigres del Norte lead singer and music director Jorge Hernandez.
We don't do fictitious performance, you know. We're not here to be lying about anything, especially in our songs. The people can have the sensibility to get us like that and to feel our songs, to feel the music, and I think we are historians.
They are talking already about our political situation, and they do it in a very intelligent way. You know, I have been journalist for more than 20 years, and I can tell you that they are better journalists than a lot of Mexican journalists, because they talk about the reality, they are not scared, and they are engaged with their country.
Los Tigres del Norte have secured a diverse fan base over their 30-plus year career, among them academics and even rock stars. But perhaps the group's most faithful followers are those who didn't have a voice until now.
Cuando me vine de mi tierra El Salvador, con la intención de llegar a Estados Unidos, sabía que necesitaría más que valor. Sabía que a lo mejor quedaba en el camino.
Mexican farm worker Tomás Hernández knows by heart many Los Tigres del Norte songs. But this one, the story of a Salvadoran immigrant who had to cross the borders of Guatemala, Mexico, and the U.S. on his way north, is his favorite. It's called Tres Veces Mojado, Three Times a Wetback.
Por Guatemala y México cuando crucé, dos veces me salvé, me hicieran prisionero. El mismo idioma y el color reflexioné, ¿cómo es posible que me llamen extranjero?
Hernandez, his clothes still carrying the scent of a day's work as an onion picker, says Los Tigres sing from the heart because they understand the pain of undocumented immigrants. Los Tigres del Norte member Hernán Hernández says more than that. They were one of them.
I think we have a little advantage, you know, that we came here as an immigrant too, you know. We were here illegal too for quite a long time.
Theirs is a story of rags to riches, rooted in hard work. In the 1960s, the story goes, four Mexican teenaged boys, along with their cousin, migrated north to provide for their large family. They say it was an immigration agent who nicknamed them Little Tigers of the North, since their band didn't have an official name yet. Now Jorge, Hernan, Eduardo and Luis Hernandez and Oscar Lara are a Grammy Award-winning group selling out venues all over the world, and this allows them to take certain risks.
Salieron de San Isidro, procedentes de Tijuana, traían la llanta del carro, repletas de hierba mala, eran Emilio Varela. Y Camelia, la Tejana.
Following the century-old Mexican tradition of corridos, or ballads based on real life, Los Tigres use their music to demand justice or issue scathing critiques against the government. Even more contentious are their narco ballads, narco corridos, focusing on drug dealers. Contrabando y Traición is the story of two drug smugglers, Emilio Varela and his lover, Camelia La Tejana. After a successful drug deal, the corrido sings, Camelia kills Emilio when he betrays her with another woman. Again, radio DJ Mario Castillo.
When they sing a corrido that talks about a story about somebody selling drugs, they are telling the truth. Actually, they're telling the younger listener, you know, don't do this, because listen to the corrido, listen to how it ends. It always ends bad for these people.
Los Tigres del Norte are making sure future generations find a connection with them and other classic corrido singers. With a $500,000 donation, they jump-started a foundation at UCLA to help create a music library and fund the study of Latino culture.
When our people comes here to this country to look for a better life, the generations that are born here are somehow forgetting how our culture is, or why our culture is so rich. And with this foundation, we're trying to make the people understand where are we coming from.
Another way to preserve Los Tigres del Norte's legacy is through literature. Writer Guadalupe Loaesa is already working on their biography.
I would like to write about their spirit, el compromiso real. I would like to show to the other Mexicans that if they work and they believe in themselves, they do things with the heart, with passion, they can also have success.
Soy el jefe de jefes, señores. Me respetan a todos niveles.
And that, Loaesa says, is the universal story of the underdog, the story of poor immigrants who became the boss's boss. Jefes de Jefes. For Latino USA, I'm Brenda De Anda in El Paso.
And that's it for this week on Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Feliz Año Nuevo. Happy New Year, everyone. And thanks again for listening and for spending a year with us.
Funding for Latino USA is provided in part by the Marguerite Casey Foundation, supporting families leading change.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. And the Melville Charitable Trust, supporting solutions to prevent and end homelessness, on the web at melvilletrust.org. And the Wallace Foundation, a source of ideas for improving education and enrichment for children, both in and out of school, at wallacefoundation.org. This is NPR.